And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, September the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2015. And on Tuesdays, we like to play a hymn. We did not play it at the beginning of the program because we're going to keep it for the end of the program. I'm preaching at chapel here today, right after the program. Gives me a few more minutes to get down there. So we will play it at the end of the program. But you know, on Tuesdays, we always have with us the Reverend Mark Smith. And I just wanted to say to him, what a beautiful day.
What have you been up to, Tom? What a beautiful day. Yes.
You don't want to talk about the beautiful day? You always talk about the beautiful day.
Well, as I was saying this morning, my wife happened to be listening to the program last week. She says, you always start with that. You got to vary it a little bit.
So. Oh, okay. I will then next time. Oh, she wasn't talking about me?
No, she's talking about me.
Oh, what did she say you should ask?
She says I should ask you, what have you been up to, Tom?
I've been on KFUO radio.
Yes.
And? Preaching. Bible studies.
And you're helping out at?
Various places. I got 3-4 congregations now I'm helping out at. And, of course, I preached at your place.
Long time. Yeah, a while ago, right.
Well, not that long. Yeah. Last month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I heard many of them became Mormon after that. But at any rate.
After you preached, right?
Yes. What's the Bible study you're doing on Sunday again? I keep forgetting.
The Book of Romans.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. We had Professor Okamoto lead us last Sunday.
Ooh.
Yes.
We may have some. Were you there?
Yes.
Okay. We may have you talk to us because we are about to do the shortest hymn that we have ever done. Because it's only one verse.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it. But
and it can be sung in 3 verses if you want to divide.
Right,
that.
Right. We'll talk about that in a moment. But
it's a good hymn.
Yeah, it's a good hymn. I don't know the author, do you?
You don't. It was Martin Luther.
Oh, Martin Luther? Yes. Oh my.
Oh yeah, it's a great hymn.
Yes, I know. So I was going to say, read the first stanza, but when you read the first stanza, it's all of them. So go ahead.
Triune God, be thou our stay. O let us perish never. Cleanse us from our sins, we pray, and grant us life forever. Keep us from the evil one. Uphold our faith most holy, and let us trust thee solely, with humble hearts and lowly. Let us put God's armor on, with all true Christians running our heavenly race and shunning the evil, the devil's wiles and cunning. Amen, amen, this be done, so sing we alleluia. And if it's Lent, of course, you can, instead of that alleluia, you can say, O Lord, have mercy on us. If it's during Lent, you sing this.
Now, you can sing 3 stanzas, but what do you start each one with?
Well, each person of the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus, God the Father be our stay, or Jesus Christ be thou our stay, Holy Spirit be our stay. You could break it up like that.
And then all the rest of the words are the same.
Are the same, right.
So it even says this hymn may be sung once using the words triune God, or it may be sung 3 times using the words in italic type, which is, of course, as you said, God the Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. That's kind of interesting. What does that say about the Trinity if we can sing the same words to each one?
Well, they're all co-equal. They're all God,
yes.
True God.
And they all
help us in what that verse says. They all help us in our fight against the evil one. They help us in our running of our the race of our life, shunning the devil's wiles and cunning. So they all 3 persons help us in that regard.
You know what's missing? There's no word about the crucifixion.
Hmm.
Well, obviously, if all 3 can sing each verse, God the Father didn't get crucified, and the Holy Spirit didn't get crucified.
Right, right.
So you have to stay with what all 3 participated in.
Right, yeah.
And cooperated in.
Yeah, that's probably one of the few hymns that Luther, I don't know of any other hymn that he wouldn't talk about the crucifixion.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. there's no doubt that the crucifixion goes all the way through the hymn.
That's right.
But it's not mentioned specifically. Rather, the benefits
of the crucifixion.
So I have a question.
Uh-oh.
You should have told me this before. Well, you were talking about what your wife said you should say, so I was
trying to get it in, but boy, I tell you. Bring it on.
All right. Triune God be thou our stay. What does stay mean?
No,
we're on radio, so stop moving your arms. Nobody can see you, Mark.
Be our stay. Be thou our stay. Be our protection. The one standing behind us. Our fortress.
Right. So you would say fortress would be another word for stay.
I think
it's an old King James word. You know, the one beside you. You know, who is
holding you up, bolstering you.
Yeah. I think that's the meaning that we need to get out of this.
It's funny. I sang that. And
I
knew what it was meant. It hadn't even registered to me to have to explain that. But you're right. That wouldn't need explaining, especially to small kids.
For children. Remember, we're encouraging parents to go over the hymn for the coming week. Are you going to be using this one, you think?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely. In fact, I'll probably sing all three verses. If not four. I might sing the first one, too.
You
Triune God.
Won't let the congregation sing with you?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yes. So you have to tell your organist ahead of time.
Oh, yes. All I have to...
But I tell you, if you sing the Triune God and the other ones, you're going to have complaints because the directions say you do one or the other.
A little redundant, I know. I realize that. But it's a good hymn. I like the verses.
Yes. So let's go into it a little bit. Oh, let us perish never. Now, a lot of people will think that many martyrs perish because they were burned at the stake or as torches in Nero's garden and this kind of thing. So what does the word perish mean here?
Well, let's see. Let us perish never. Let us never fall from the faith. Let us never die the eternal death.
That's right. I actually think that we will never die the eternal death. So it's very interesting. The very next phrase tells us what God has done so that we will never perish. And that is what?
Cleanse us from our sins, we pray, and grant us life forever.
Yes. So life doesn't necessarily mean that your body doesn't die.
Right.
Because at the moment of your death, you know.
That's right.
You're with Jesus in the Spirit.
Our eternal life begins with our baptism.
Yes. Yeah, it was a question I had for a Bible study, and you know me and my questions.
Oh, yes.
I said, what day of the week did Jesus die?
Friday.
And what day did he rise from the dead?
Sunday.
So how could he say to the thief, today, on Friday, you will be with me in paradise, if he didn't rise till Sunday?
Well, he was in paradise with the thief. That's, you know, just because he didn't rise, that doesn't mean, you know, like he says to his heavenly father,
into thy
hands I commit my spirit.
Yes. Jesus was a human being. He died like a human being.
Right.
The spirit went immediately to be with God.
Exactly.
His father. And so also did that of the thief.
That's
because
right.
He was a believer. A lot of people don't realize that.
Really?
Well, you ask your class, and just ask the two. You have to say it properly. What day did he die? What day did he rise? And how could he say? You know what the Roman Catholic interpretation is of that?
Please tell me.
Yeah, because they also can't imagine the thief didn't go to purgatory. So how could he be with Jesus in heaven? He has to go to purgatory first.
Oh, is that right? They believe that he went to purgatory first.
Well,
I thought he received a special dispensation. He skipped purgatory.
No
kidding. They believe he went to purgatory first.
Well, and so here's how they...
That was a quick stay.
No. Because of how they translate the verse.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
And today Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's how they understand that verse.
Tricky.
The today is referring to the day that Jesus said it.
Oh, really? They don't believe that very day he was with them.
No. You can't get out of purgatory. They don't even think the Pope's in heaven yet. You know, until
they don't believe he was in paradise with Jesus on that same day.
No.
I never realized that.
Yeah, that's why you come to KFUO. No, I was just saying to a Bible study, I'm doing parables.
Mm-hmm.
Like today at Emmanuel Olivet at 11 a.m., and then I'm also doing them, in case you can't make Emmanuel, at Trinity Orchard Farm on Thursday night at 7 p.m., the parables. I said...
At Trinity Orchard Farm, the parables.
Yeah, and at Emmanuel.
I see.
So I started off saying, you will not understand these parables because you're laity. And there's two reasons why you will not understand them. Number one, you don't know the Hebrew and Greek, and there's a lot in the original language that explains it. And number two, none of you are Palestinian, so you don't know the culture. And I said, it'd be like me going to a doctor and I have some pain and he gives me some medicine. I could care less what that medicine is made up of. I'm just going to take the medicine and take it. So I'm totally...
What parables were you talking about?
All of them.
All of them, huh?
Oh, my. Yeah. I mean, we're having fun today with the...
I know the parable of the lost son. Parable of the lost son is really helped if you know a little bit of the culture.
Yeah, well, all of them do.
Right.
None of them... The English is terrible. Because you don't know the cultural background. And so the one today is on the unjust judge.
Oh, yeah, that's a difficult one.
Not very simple. Okay, so, let us perish never. Cleanse us from our sins, we pray, and grant us life forever. Now, look at the next part.
Keep us from the evil one.
Now, what does that remind you of about, I'll give you a little hint. Forgiveness of sins and keeping from the evil one. Where else do we find that?
Keep us from the evil one and forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
Oh, our Father.
Very good. Yes, it's the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
And that's really important.
Of course.
Because what does the Lord's Prayer say about evil? How does it go?
Our Father who art in
heaven. You got to go through the whole thing? You can't remember?
I'm sorry. My mind just isn't working that well this morning.
Okay, that's fine. That's because you talked to your wife.
Go ahead. Tell me what I'm supposed to say.
No. You don't remember the Lord's Prayer?
Of course I do.
And lead us not...
into temptation. But
right.
Deliver us from evil.
Deliver us from evil. A lot of people don't realize that isn't referring... to evil things happening in our life. The gender shows it's referring to the devil.
The evil one, the devil.
Yes. Deliver us from evil means that on the day of our death or on the day of judgment, we will not be delivered to the evil one.
Well, of course, he is. He is behind all evil.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
So how does God keep us from being delivered to the evil one?
With
the next phrase.
Forgive us of sins.
No.
Christ.
No. The next phrase.
Uphold our faith.
Yes.
Most holy.
Yes. What does that mean?
Keep us in the faith.
No. Most holy. What does that mean?
Let's see. Uphold our faith most holy.
How does most holy?
Most holy.
Yeah, see, this is not an easy
uphold
hymn.
No, it isn't. Uphold our faith most holy. And let us trust thee solely. Well, he's obviously talking about our holy faith. There's only one true faith.
Very good. The word holy is describing the faith, not how we keep it.
Right.
Yes. So what is the faith that needs to be upheld? What's the object of our faith?
Christ.
Specifically. Because Mormons can say that.
Oh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Well, there are some Trinitarian cults, too. When we say we believe...
Jesus Christ has saved us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
In other words, what is our faith? What is the object of all faith? promises.
Oh, clinging to Christ's promises.
You're right. So when it says...
Right. Even the devil knows who Jesus is, but he doesn't trust in his promises.
In fact, that's the next phrase.
Yeah.
Uphold our faith, which is most holy. And how do we do that? Let's
trust thee solely.
Now, when we say we trust Jesus, we do not mean we trust that he was real, that he was a human being, that he was God, that he was born of a virgin, that he suffered under... None of that is part of trust. What the trust is that in those events...
We cling to his promises.
Namely of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We trust that when he was crucified, he paid for our sins. He paid, therefore, also for our justification when he was risen from the dead. Trusting in Jesus, therefore, means that you trust the promises of the... What's the name of this program?
The Law and the Gospel.
Okay, so which one?
The Gospel.
That's right, not the Law. I got that wrong.
Oh, boy, this is just filling the blanks for me this morning. Give me a break, Tom.
No, I know how difficult sometimes it is.
You just working with you.
Yes, I know. So, how are we to trust him?
With humble hearts and lowly.
Okay. Children won't understand the word lowly.
I would use the publican in the temple. God be merciful to me.
Very good.
A poor, miserable sinner. I mean, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I've got nothing to offer you except
There's another myself. Line in that hymn that I really like. I'll start it, you finish it. Naked
I come to thee for dress.
Exactly. So we don't have, and what does he dress us in?
His robe of righteousness.
Very good. Yes. So humble hearts and lowly. Humble means that we recognize we have nothing to offer God.
Poor, miserable sinners.
Yeah.
He's our only Savior, our only hope.
When you asked your wife to marry you, did you give her the 8 reasons why she would be fortunate to marry you, like I did?
Okay, Tom, let's hear them. 8 reasons. 8 reasons why St. Louise should have married you.
Obviously, she would have said no if I had said that. You know, I mean, who else is like me? She says, the more I think about it, nobody is, and that's why I'm marrying George or Fred or Mark or whatever.
Okay.
So, you don't, when you're trying to be, get a woman to marry you, to be humble doesn't mean that you brag about your...
No, that's right.
See. And so...
In fact, you know what's interesting? You know, we both have cats.
Yes.
You know what I've heard is that, well, I'll never forget this. We had a male cat.
Oh, yeah.
And then we brought the female cat home maybe a week later.
Oh, wow.
And the male cat, you know, the female cat was in the carrier, in the little cage.
Right.
And the male cat comes down right in front of her and you know, sniffs around and everything.
Sure, right.
And you know what he did?
No.
He lay prostrate right in front of her cage.
Wow.
And my wife tells me that's his way of...
Welcoming?
Of welcoming her, of saying, hey, look, I'm not going to be a bad guy at all. I don't know, for what it's worth.
No, it's kind of
interesting. That's the way a cat shows that he's not going to be any threat.
I walk into the house.
Have you ever heard that before?
No. Louise prostrates herself. Yes, so I understand this. You don't have to explain it to me.
Oh, boy.
Because she does that to untie my shoes because I can't reach them. Oh, boy. Do you know the difference between dogs and cats?
Yes, a big difference, yes. I do.
You do?
I sure do.
Did you know the one I talk about?
I've got my own saying for that, but go ahead and tell me yours.
Okay. You come home, you feed the dog, you pet the dog and all this, and the dog thinks you're God.
Thinks you're God. Yeah.
The cat, you come home, you pet him, and the cat thinks it's God.
Yes, I've heard that. And let me tell you, there's a lot of truth to that.
Oh, those cats. You can't train them to do anything, hardly. Boy. So, How do we go from dogs and cats from Triune God Be Our Stay? It's a humble hearts and lowly.
Let us put our armor on, okay? Humble hearts and lowly, let us put God's armor on.
Okay.
You know, Luther loved to sing along the theme of Mighty Fortress, putting God's armor on. You know, he lived in that, you know, well, of course he lived in a castle, you know.
Yeah, Wartburg.
Right. And he actually played the part of a knight to go out incognito.
What would he be talking about today if Luther was living today and the Reformation began today and he had a computer and all this? He'd be talking about Twitter, Facebook, you know, using them to get the message out.
Yeah.
And so his analogies would be quite different.
Yeah, I'm glad he was in the 16th century.
Yes. I'm glad he didn't have a computer.
Yes.
It's hard enough to read 60 of his books.
Boy, no kidding.
What's God's armor?
Well, the helmet of salvation,
right.
The sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth.
I actually bought a metal soldier that had all that on.
No kidding.
And I showed the kids in Sunday school and stuff. The important point to make, there's only one weapon that is offensive.
That's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah, the rest are all defensive. So that really makes a big difference. Our heavenly race, and then shunning, and here we go again, the devil's wiles and cunning. So how's the devil, what does it mean that he's wily?
He's tricky.
Yes, very good. That's
tricky.
A good way of putting it.
Wily.
Yeah, Adam and Eve. You can become like God if you do this.
Which is a half-truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's true, they would know the difference between good and evil.
Yes. So trying God be
that's
thou
That's the way he tricks
saying.
Us a lot, with half-truths, and even by... quoting scripture, distorting the scriptures, he uses that.
On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be maybe talking about the Pope, depending on how much he says today, arriving here. And of course, the whole Reformation was about the half-truths of some of what the Roman Catholic Church taught concerning praying to Mary, sinlessness of Mary, purgatory, these kinds of things. We'll see what he has to say. Particularly before Congress, and see if one can back it up with the Bible. So we may be talking about that. We'll certainly be asking people to give us any calls. Now, we have a few minutes left. Do you want to take over the program? Or shall we go ahead and just play Triune God Be Thou Our Stay?
Let's just play the hymn. How about that?
Okay. And remember, 11 a.m. today, 10 a.m., I'm doing the chapel service here at the IC, International Center, and then at Emmanuel Olivet, and it's open to the public, 9733 Olive Boulevard. Thanks so much for being on the air, Mark, and we'll be playing this hymn now to close off our program.